Okay, care coordination and health IT. So I guess the logic for these presentations is how health information technology, and it seems like the theme has something to do with patient communication and communicating with patients versus a lot of health IT being focused on communication across providers and within the system of the teams. So that makes this session, I think, unique in that way. So I'm really happy to see that there's a session on that. And my focus is going to be on getting the patient voice into the electronic health record, which is not something that is commonplace these days. It's coming for stage four, three meaningful use. They want to make sure that there's fields in the electronic health record that have to do with the patient's health goals and with, of course, if we want to know about functioning or quality of life or symptoms even, you ask patients. In fact, that's how doctors find out about it themselves and then put that data into the electronic record is by asking their patients questions, right? That's how then they enter it into the EHR. So I think that getting patient data into the EHR allows us to start to standardize instruments for how we ask about functioning and how we ask about what their goals are instead of just relying on all the different thousand flowers blooming ways of asking about that doctors do, and then it looks like it's standardized because it's a field in the electronic record. Does that make sense? So this idea of giving patients a way to report on standardized sort of validated tools and getting that data into the electronic record so that it can be used at the point of service is sort of what the opportunity is. And we endeavored on a project about 4 years ago started, and at that time and still haven't found a lot of examples of that. So if you have any examples of that, I would really like to hear about it. But I'm just going to report to you what we were up to and then see if that resonates. And we have a little dialogue, I guess, after the second presentation. So I'm Christina Bethel, and I'm with the School of Medicine at the Oregon Health and Science University, and I'm reporting on a grant, results of a grant from the Health Resources and Services Administration through the Maternal and Child Health Bureau on patient-centered quality measurement and improvement. That was sort of the overarching theme, to improve the quality of well-child care. Children are supposed to receive 15 well visits in the first 3 years of life, and I think the documentation in the literature is pretty clear that the quality of those visits, despite everybody's very good intentions, is not high, and it's really not getting much better, and clearly part of it is because it's such a huge amount of content to cover, and so how do we help customize and tailor the visits to the needs of the child and the parent, so that providers can really target their services to the parent and they get their needs met. That's kind of the opportunity that we saw by engaging parents as full partners in their care. I want to acknowledge my co-authors, Casey McCracken and Colleen Ruland on my team, and John Kilty, who was our key medical leader and champion in the clinical practice that we were working most closely with, and also Judy Shaw, who's one of the co-developers of the Bright Futures Guidelines, and she and Paula Duncan and a lot of other people nationally who you might know, Cynthia Minkovitz and others, were involved closely in this work, and we're very, very grateful for that team. I have nothing to disclose, but speaking of team, this is a broader group of who our team was, including Family Voices and several others. So my goal, again, today there are many parts to the project that we had, but my goal is to really highlight the IT orientation and how to use a partnership with parents to get data from them into the electronic record prior to the visit and using it to enhance the visit. We had three different interventions that we were testing. I don't know if anyone has a pointer. Do you have a pointer? No? Okay. So we had three different interventions, and I'm focusing on the enhanced encounter intervention, which was developing and using this web-based portal. And in the enhanced encounter well child care model, we did three things. First of all, we assessed baseline quality using an online promoting healthy development survey, which is a National Quality Forum endorsed instrument for measuring the content of well child care for young children. And it's a tool that our team also developed in like 12 years ago and has been being used and is an option. So we sent the parents to say, give us your feedback, and then we're going to use that feedback to see where we need to improve. And then before your next visit, while we were developing the pre-visit tool, we're going to ask you to go online to the Plan Your Child's Well Visit tool and start partnering more actively in preparing for and conducting your next well child visit. And then after this, we redid this to assess whether there were differences in quality that occurred. So that's sort of the basics. And we developed these little posters. It turned out the grant really was not focused on optimizing patient response rates and all of that, but the cultural issues were really key because practices really haven't started partnering with parents in a very clear way, or patients asking them to do these kinds of things. So we had a poster in the visit room and as well as the waiting room and little postcards that we handed out and so on and so forth. So our goals really were to first assess feasibility and acceptability by providers and patients. Like, can you actually develop an online pre-visit planning tool that parents will use and can use that doesn't take too much time? Will they complete it? And can you take that big, thick Bright Futures Guidelines book and really translate it into an online tool that actually has some face validity and some content validity and also some validity from a survey point of view? So we really didn't know. And will providers do it? Will it blow up the visit time? All these worries that we have about engaging patients were arisen in this project. And so that was our first thing. And then technically, could we do it? Could we actually develop a website that could be used by parents and integrated into the EHR? So because there weren't models that we were basing it on, it was a little bit of a walking through the forest. And so the last part was, what's the impact? Although, frankly, that's kind of where we're landing now. This is what I consider an alpha test. We need a beta test to go and expand our impact even further. But we have a lot of impact factors in terms of perceptions of the provider and the parents about the visits and how they went, and some information on quality improvement. So that's what we were up to. Before the enhanced visit implementation, algorithm implementation or model, we were working with a practice that had 12 pediatric providers, 12 pediatricians, and many MAs and PAs and other staff. They had centricity-based platform, and they did have forms specific to well visits, but not any information that came from the parent. And they used the ASQ at the appointed times, according to the AAP, at 9, 18, and 24-month visits, but they were done in paper-pencil format, and then the parents would just get their visit summary, like is typical for all of us who go to the doctor, usually. There was no patient portal or email, and they hadn't been engaged in anything directly with engaging patients in that way. So here is just a little visual of our baseline quality measurement. That was step one. This is what the homepage looks like. This is actually we have a public use site version of this called yourchildhealthcare.org, where parents can go on and complete it and find out what the quality of their well child visits are now. It's not linked up to anybody's EHR, but it's there. And then these are some of the stimulus materials we use to get parents to take the survey. And we even came up with little stickers for the kids, and we floated about 10 different stickers, and that's the one they like. Star parents, star patient takes the survey. And then this is a feedback form that the parent would get about the quality of their well child care and opportunities that they would have to try to be a partner in improving that care with their providers. And then the providers get feedback forms as well on an aggregated basis across all of the patients that completed the survey. And we have an online promoting healthy development survey tool where providers can sign up to use it, and after about 25 cases or whatever they designate, they would get an automated feedback report. And this is just kind of what it looks like. They're getting an overview and for each area of their care. And what's important to know, this is not really something I want you to read too carefully, but we worked with actually Kaiser, a lot of pediatric practices there, and did the original testing of the Promoting Healthy Development Survey as a quality measurement tool. And I think at that time, a lot of people thought that asking patients about satisfaction was the same thing as asking them about the clinical quality of care. And it turns out that there's a lot about clinical quality of care that you have to get from patients, and it isn't about asking them about satisfaction. And so this is just a graph to show that overall satisfaction and whether needs are met in anticipatory guidance are kind of all over the map. They're not linear. So doctors that are getting the highest satisfaction ratings, in some cases they're getting the lowest on other on clinical quality measures. And so none of the measures that we have actually relate to satisfaction for that reason, because it's not really a predictor of what actually happens. And so step two was the Plan My Child's Well Visit tool. And we're now calling this Well Visit Planner, and we are working on a public use site. But I wanted to see if I can give you a little video, and I'm going to take this and show it to you. Okay, that didn't work. Or it did work. Let's see. Okay. If this is not hooked up to, let's see if you can just say it.
Welcome to the Plan My Child's Well Visit online tool. The tool is designed to help prioritize the time spent with pediatric providers to focus on the topics that are most important to the child and the family. The topics included are aligned to the Bright Futures recommendations for 4 to 36-month well-child visits. Using the dashboard, parents can easily keep track of the well-child visit planning tools for each of their children and prepare for the upcoming visits. This tool is organized into three steps. In step one, parents provide some information about their upcoming visit. Note any concerns that they would like to discuss at the visit. And complete a series of age-specific child health screeners, developmental surveillance items, and items to assess the family environment. In step two, parents pick their priorities for the visit using a list of items that are anchored to the Bright Futures guidelines for anticipatory guidance. This section is designed to help parents understand the breadth of topics that they can discuss with their provider and to identify their priorities for the well visit. Parents can also access information about each topic by clicking on links to educational materials. After completing this step, parents confirm their priorities and submit their information to their provider. This submission was done via an EMR linkage during testing, in which information from the tool was inserted directly into the EMR to support clinical decision making. Without the EMR linkage, the tool still has value for parents and providers because of the customized visit guide, which is part of step three. In step three, parents receive a customized visit guide to help them plan for the upcoming visit. The visit guide highlights something positive about their child, lists any concerns that they identified, notes their priorities for the visit, and provides space to make additional notes. Well-child visits are essential to the health of our children, and parent-provider communication is critical for ensuring that these visits meet the goals of effective screening and health promotion. The Plan My Child Well Visit tool supports these goals by enhancing communication between the parent and the provider.
Okay, that'll just finish in a minute. So that gives you a little view of what the parents were doing. It took about an average of 9 minutes for them to complete. They could go away and come back, which is essential when you're dealing with parents of young children. We did a lot of interviews with parents through this process. We had parent advisors in practice. They really co-developed it. They picked the name. When we came back to well visit planner, they liked that too, but at the time it was Plan My Child Well Visit. It was pretty basic. And they really don't know why they're going in, and they're not prepared, and it's hard for providers because they know they're not meeting parents' needs, and yet they're desperately trying to. And the parents, and we're missing opportunities. So it's an essential tool for providers as much as for parents, because providers really need help as well with so much to do and so little time. So you saw the video, so I don't need to go through this. But in terms of getting it into the electronic record, which is what I'm focusing on today, the design parameters were to feed it into existing forms that they already had. We had to create two new forms, one on anticipatory guidance and family psychosocial issues, because they didn't have any place for that. Required no work of providers to pull in the data at the time of the visit, so it was just there. Only pull in what needs to be pulled in. It turned out to be most of what was in the tool, because we were very parsimonious about what we put in the online tool. Pretty conservative about what we picked from Bright Futures in terms of making sure that it really was clearly a recommendation and something that the providers and the clinicians could do something about if they had the information. But it was a whole long process of them agreeing to that. Like, they had to start from scratch saying, of all the things you're asking parents in this tool, what do I want in my electronic record? At the beginning, it was like, well, I'm probably not going to want much of it. And at the end, it ended up being almost all of it. And they were like, sort of went through a whole long process to get there. And then making sure that the resources were there. We did not have, as part of our grant, making available to our practices all the resources they would need to act on the information they were going to receive. And, of course, most people know that's a huge gap. We did our best, though. We ended up creating activity sheets for developmental surveillance and all kinds of things they could then give parents because they were starting to find a lot more issues in the family and in the home and needing to link to community services and so on. As soon as you start getting into actually asking people why they're coming in, you learn a lot about what's really going on that might need some attention. So this was simple, just visual of what the process was. The parent completed the online tool at about 15-minute increments. We sent that data through an HL7 file to the practice platform, and then there was a series of steps at that point for it to get into the actual electronic health record in the forms. So this is just a simple visual. And the hardest part, they say, is figuring out what went in, not the process. I mean, this was not rocket science. It was because we'd never done it before, but once we did it, it was like, oh, okay, we can do this. So there's a lot to say about what we put in, but on the left-hand side here, if I had a pointer, it would be clearer. These are the categories of content, and then these are the different forms that they went into. And for those who are interested in maybe trying out this tool, all of this is stuff we can share, like what their forms look like and everything. So this is just some visuals of the forms. And in terms of the lessons, that was technically and logistically feasible, but customization did require staff and consultants. And the actual dollar figure isn't clear because it was a brand new process. For maintenance and doing it again, it's going to be a lot less. It wasn't terribly expensive. For those of you who've had HRSA funding, you know that it's not tremendously great. And so we actually took a pause on the survey. The practice was so enthralled with the tool that they actually ponied up a lot of in-kind, and they actually paid for a part of the consultant costs, and we did. So we kind of met them halfway, and they were so excited about it. And they're still using the tool, so they're very, very happy that they did that. But it was probably about $15,000 to engage the IT folks in getting the forms redone and getting the HL7 feed process through. And then, of course, our time was pretty extensive in getting the office system flow. And it turned out that it improved the office system flow overall and the integration between the front office staff and the nurses and the pediatrician was much improved, also just by trying to figure out how to work with the system. And the extensive piece was the provider input, getting them to even think about asking parents to do something like this, getting through all of their preconceived ideas about what bad could happen in the world if they did that, and the biggest thing was worrying about their visit times, worrying they were going to find a lot of problems they couldn't deal with, worrying that it was just going to logistically be too hard, and what it turned out to be just the opposite. And of course, we had to, you know, sustain all of those doubts, and we were really in research mode. We were not sure what would happen, so we were just saying, yeah, that may happen, but here's what we're doing about that. Let's see how we can make this work and improve your workflow as well as improve the quality of care. So practice culture really turned out to be a huge piece. At the beginning of this project, I think most of the people in the practice thought, well, we're engaging our patients just fine, this will supplement that. And at the end, they said, you know, we didn't realize how little we were really engaging our patients, that they didn't really know that their child was really actually developing, that each visit was different, that it wasn't just about getting weighed and immunized and measured, but it really actually was very important series of things that are different at 2 months and 4 months and 6 months and 9 months, and that you, the parent, are the expert on your child, and we really need to hear from you. So parents would do it and then not do it the next visit because they thought, oh, well, I did it before, I never need to do it again, you know? And so the idea of development and that these visits were following a developmental trajectory wasn't even clear to the parents. And so that was very compelling to the providers. And then we didn't do a lot on how to get the parents to respond, but our response rate was around 40%. And that was actually really ideal because we didn't do anything except for send them one email. And so that wasn't really the focus of the study. Now that, and that's actually really quite good. And now that we're translating it into Spanish and we can go on now, hopefully, and find out more about how to improve response rate. But the truth was that was enough to start to get the cultural shift happening, and the response rate was very dependent on the provider and the provider's buy-in. So the response rate varied from low 30s to like 80. So, you know, basically the providers are really the ones that if they say, I really want you to do this, it's going to help our visit, that the parents end up doing it. So we don't think it's going to be a big issue, but it's mostly a cultural issue. And just like everything else, like the electronic record itself, how many people complain about it and they'll love it, it's like that. We haven't really given patient engagement the try that we need to. And so, you know, you can't just try once and go, oh, patients won't fill out a survey. They don't want to do it. And we haven't even really gone the distance. So that's important to know about. The usage, I'm reporting on about 2,075 visits, but we've collected many, many more cases since this time. But this is when the study was cut off so we could do our analysis. And I already told you about the medium completion time. And, you know, one of the bonuses here is that there's a database collected on the back end that can actually help practices understand what are parents as an aggregate group wanting most to know about, where are their gaps. And this is going to be a moving thing because as you educate them, then they'll start diving into probably hairier issues. But at the beginning, it was really interesting. They really wanted to know about, you know, I mean, about behaviors and food and obesity-related issues. And if you notice, nationally, we're focused on mental health and obesity, and it turns out parents are really wanting to know about that, and dental care, which we also have known nationally is an area that's a gap in care. So this gives you a sense of what are parents wanting to know about, of all the things that we think they should know about, what are they saying, of all the priorities, what do I want to know about? So there's a back-end database that's collected that providers and practices can have to start to look at population health, which is also going to be rising up as an important factor. So these kinds of tools yield both a front-end piece of value for parents educating them, a middle piece in the visit to improve the visit, but also a back-end piece of helping you understand your population better and plan better for their needs, which will vary. So we're really excited about the possibility of not only this tool, but others like it in many other areas for that purpose. So it reaches a number of different pieces. And I don't think I've ever seen a paper really that talks about this. So if we were to collect enough data nationally, we could start to get in the practice setting and across different environments, what are parents wanting to know about, and how does that map against the guidelines? So are there guidelines that no parent ever wants to know about? That would be really interesting to know, because it either represents an educational gap or some other issue. Okay, so then as you noted, we had information sheets for people, and this is just a summary also that topic viewed, again, something that parents can be useful for the practice to know about in terms of prioritizing their health education topics. There is an email sent to the parents after they complete the tool with links to the educational topic for the priorities that they picked. So we give them two shots at looking at the educational materials. One is while they're in the tool, and then the second is in a follow-up email. And then after the visit, during the visit, the nurses can also download and print them, and they often do, and that's how they're getting the information to the parents. So that's very helpful as well. In terms of feasibility, we have a lot more we can report in our longer report if you want to see it, but it actually improved office workflow in terms of the timing and elegance, and it helped them tighten up the process between coming in and getting the educational forms and all of that. And one of the biggest findings was that it freed up nurses and PA time, and they were actually, I don't have anything to do when I go into the room now, and now how about dealing with all that psychosocial stuff and all those care coordination issues? And it was very exciting for them to think that they could really start turning their attention to that, and of course that leads to the need to start creating resources for that, but that's where we want to end up. So we were really, really pleased to hear that, and we heard that pretty strongly. And so they wanted to use the tool. They said, if you take it away, we'll cry. That's actually a quote from the doctor who was most worried about it, said that to us. So that was good feedback. We actually did a standardized survey of all the practices, PAs, MAs, and office staff on a standardized tool, and so there's a lot more detail I can show you. I'm just giving you the high level here. The area that it was most useful for in terms of really jumping out at providers was in family psychosocial assessment. And if you keep track of this literature, you know that that's an area that we're particularly performing poorly on, despite the fact that we all know that the health of the child is largely, in many ways, dependent on the health of the family and the parents. And yet we're not really delving into those issues. There's a lot of, they don't want me to ask, I don't want to ask, they might want me to. And so this tool was amazing for that, because basically parents were very, very upfront. And it gave providers an opening to talk about these issues, and they're often the underbelly issues that have long trails to them in terms of the impact they have on the family. And so we saw a very big jump in psychosocial assessment and conversations around psychosocial issues, whether it be depression or income issues or stress in work as it was relating, or in the relationships in the home and so on. So that was really the bare area we had a very big impact on. In terms of the parents, 92% said that they would recommend the tool to other parents. And again, keep in mind, this was a study that we didn't do a lot of bells and whistles to try to make this the fanciest, the funnest thing in the world. It was pretty basic. I think there's just a couple things we could do that would really enhance it even more, but 92% we thought was pretty good. They were comfortable with the time that it took, again, 92%. It 85% reported that it helped them to learn about their child's development and different areas of development. Now, that's outside of improving the visit. That's just learning about what should I be expecting about my child's development just by completing a tool relevant to their child's age. And then 64% said that it increased the value of their well-child visit, but another 27% that it somewhat increased. And of course, keep in mind, parents' expectations are not necessarily very high. So for 64% to say it improved it, I think if they knew, they probably didn't know how much it needed to improve, you know, in terms of the content of care, not the relationship piece, but in terms of the content of care. So that was good. They perceived that it helped, and that was good. And then, of course, we did measure the quality, too, and I'll get to that at the very end. These are just specifics. I wish I had a pointer again, but, you know, the different areas that it can help, ability to what do they like about the tool, the ability to complete questions at home, 97% said they liked that. Before the visit, getting the report to the provider. So the parents were like, I like it that I come in and I know they've seen this, so we can get on with it. That's good. I think that's a great thing. Having the educational materials was good. We weren't sure about that because that was a lot of work. I mean, like, if they're not going to use them, then let's not have them. Don't always read them, but they like having them there because you never know when you're going to need them. And so having it there was really important. And then having the customized visit guide. Many parents said on post-evaluation that they would use these in their baby books and things like that, as well as using them to help them with the visit. So there was an interest in them for lots of reasons, because they actually track a lot of information about your child and where you were at, and so on and so forth. So that's there. And then in terms of the value in the visit, you can just look down here, but we're getting prioritizing topics. So we gave them five topics they could prioritize. And at first, the doctors were very worried that they're going to prioritize all 35 options they could pick. And it turns out the average is around three. Some parents only picked two, and they got it to pick up to five. And if they had others, they could write them in the open-ended space, and we had very few of those. So it really was a test, and we had no idea how it would turn out. And it was, you know, we did interviews with parents to try to find out, but we picked five, and it seemed to work, and most parents weren't even picking five. So then they go in, and these are the topics that are recommended be covered by the AAP Bright Futures Guidelines, and actually MCHB's sponsored guidelines. and so I think that that's really, really good news for providers, because what we heard is I go to bed at night knowing that I met my parents' needs. And that's one of the main goals of the guidelines, is that you're meeting the needs of the parent and the concerns of the parent. So some other things is understanding what they could talk about. I think a lot of parents don't know what they can talk about, and it's probably true in a lot of areas of healthcare that we don't really know what's okay to talk about, and we don't feel invited necessarily to talk about it, so we don't talk about it, even though it has a huge impact on our lives. And identifying issues that they hadn't thought about their child's health, and asking questions. And then recognizing their family strengths and how they can build off them, which is, I think, a really important point, because I think we're really starting to realize how important a strength-based approach is. Identifying resources, that even if we have a lot of limitations and vulnerabilities, we all have a lot of resources we're not necessarily accessing. And so the fact that families voluntarily were saying that, you know, this helped me identify things that are going well, and resources that I can start accessing to help them become even better, we thought was really a good thing, too. So the last thing is the quality of care, and I'm just going to highlight a few findings. One is on parental's overall needs met, especially on physical care topics, which I think a lot of people might be surprised by, but basically, how do I feed my child? You know, the basics of physical care day by day, we thought, and we did had an adjusted odds ratio of 1.69 from baseline to follow up. And that's adjusting for income and race, ethnicity, and gender, and other factors, special health care needs, and so on. Psychosocial assessment was our biggest jump, with an odds of 3.32, greater odds if you, from completing the tool. And comprehensive care, which is a baseline kind of index across a couple of different things, having needs met on anticipatory guidance, and psychosocial assessment, family-centered care, and and at being asked about their child's development, which is really a low bar for developmental surveillance, also increased. We do need to do a more formal study on the quality of care impact because we didn't get to do randomization and we didn't get to control for the baseline follow-up in all the ways we would have liked, but that really was, you know, the way the study design had to be because it was a small study with one practice and we need a lot more numbers. So we're hoping to get a lot more numbers of people interested in this so that we can start learning more. But it actually, from a PI point of view, turned out better than I had anticipated. If we had gotten a 20% response rate and 60% of people saying, I can do this, I would have been happy. Because I guess I just have not been ready to give up the idea that we can really be doing a better job at engaging patients and giving real mechanisms to be engaged, not just saying it and not just when you walk in the door, but really, you know, going full out to engage people in their care. And the people who want to do it will do it, and then it'll become part of the culture and more will do it. So what we hear, parents are now saying, I didn't get my email. And the reason is their children are aging out of the tool. So the tool goes up to age 3 right now, and we're just at the point of figuring out what will it take for us to start building in the other age groups, because we do have a process now of going through the guidelines, getting expert review. It's like a process to make sure what goes in there is validated. Well, we have that process for the other ages, so we want to fill it out for all the other ages and obviously into the teen years. The first thing that they said in the focus groups, the providers, when we walked in, before I even started, formally, they said, so when are you going to do the teen version, and what about the mobile app and the Spanish translation? I mean, that was like literally just like out of their mouths, you know, and I'm like, whoa, okay, let's back up a little bit. And then from providers, we literally hear, I can't live without my CAMI visits. And so they think of it as their CAMI visits because we're the Child and Adolescent Health Measurements Initiative. So that's what we hear. Here's a recap on how it works. Parents complete an online tool. They go into their visit and use the information in the EHR and in the visit guide to share in the encounter. And then afterwards, what we like, this I think is a cycle of engagement that we really want to do on a periodic basis, that quality measurement piece, so that we start to engage parents also in reporting on the quality of care and in well child care and in many other areas. Many key aspects of quality have to be reported by the patient. So if we make it a kind of this is how we do things around here, here's our culture, we ask you for input on how we're doing. And we do it through this anonymous system online, and we get aggregated reports back. And then, but at every visit, we want you to make sure you let us know what your goals are for the visit, what your priorities are, and, you know, once a year, we're going to ask you for feedback on quality or something. It creates a cycle of engagement and a conversation with patients that I think can have hopefully a wildfire effect on improving quality. We'll find out. I think it will. So that's it. If you want to learn about it, you can go to wellvisitplanner.org, which is just a placeholder website right now. We're just about done with a public use website. We have visions of a mobile app and other. We have paper pencil versions of the website for those who don't have electronic systems and want to do something to engage patients. That was another intervention in this study, and we do have them. And they also worked well in a rural health practice. So it was a form they filled out in the waiting room that had similar features. So if you're interested, let me know. And I can be reached at my last name, BETHELLC@OHSU.edu. I don't have a slide on that.